will be, our message will be in Luke. Title is Faith. Pretty simple title. We are in the second week of Advent, and today's candle, as we're looking at the Bethlehem candle, is the faith candle. And I think that's what's important here. What we need to understand is Advent. Advent means the arrival of a notable person or a notable event. That's the meaning of Advent. And that's why there's celebration of 4 weeks prior to the arrival, which I forgot we will have Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock. It's candlelight service, so hopefully you can come. Now, so the arrival of a notable person or an event, that person or event is the arrival of God's only Son, is what we're celebrating. And we're looking at the faith of Mary and Joseph, and also the faith of so many others. Faith. And when you think about this, Mary had been told by the angel Gabriel the Holy Spirit would come upon her and she was going to give birth to a son. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. So it was like they're an engagement. It's a year-long thing. They're considered married, but they're not really married yet. Now, Joseph was a just man and was going to, and I'm going to read this a little bit, the story of that. He was going to divorce her quietly because once he found out she was with child, things have changed nowadays. Back then, that was horrible to have that happen. But what happened was an angel appeared to him. And I just want to read that to you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he was considering these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife. But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So as we look at that here, I wanted to bring that up because Joseph is a man, and I could see what was going on in his mind and his thoughts. The Christ was to be born, though, in Bethlehem, and there in Nazareth. So God has to get, Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. He's got to do this, and God has to orchestrate this. That's where we're going into today's scripture in Luke 2, verses 1 through 5. So look at how God's going to get Mary and Joseph there. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who is with child. So that's how God's going to move this. He's going to get him out of Nazareth, because the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, and he does this. Now, think about this, and ladies can relate to it far more than guys. They're going to make this journey, and she's real close to giving birth. Probably not the best thing you want. Like I say, they don't have the cars with good suspensions and air conditioning and heat and all that other kind of stuff. They're walking around a donkey or something to that nature. So it's going to be very difficult on Mary, very difficult on Joseph also. And I wondered about Joseph and Mary, and when we're talking about faith, if they wavered in their faith during their journey there. And I really had to think, good chance of that. Both of them, God spoke directly to them, this is what's going to happen. So I want us all to think for a minute, has God told you something that's going to happen? Has he shared with that? And have you wavered a little bit? God told you to go somewhere, to do something, or something was coming up. Did we waver? Yeah. I was wondering about the faith of Joseph. Okay, you're betrothed to this woman, a virgin, and now she's with a child. And you're going, now, just man, he's going to divorce her quietly. And then this angel appears and says, hey, fear not. Because there was a lot of fear involved in that. He's trusting God. He truly is. His future wife's with a child that's not his. And he's going to be responsible to raise this child. Lord, I think at this point he's really trusting God a lot. I think his faith is really ground there. And think about Mary with a child has to travel to another town. That'd be like saying, hey, we got to drive across this country because we have cars and all that kind of stuff. Where you don't even know where you're going to be staying. Now, if I were to say, hey, we're going to go to whatever, pick a city. I know it'd be, where are we staying? Is there restaurants there? What are we going to be doing? How are we getting there? You know, what do I need to pack? Here you have this situation. I think it's interesting. What's going on in her mind? What's really going on in her mind? I want us to understand, Scripture says faith is a spiritual gift. It is a spiritual gift from God. So if you're lacking a little bit of faith, ask God. Lord, I need my faith strengthened. I need that faith. Because I've wondered about this as we go through on this. God may have told so many. If you read the Old Testament, and I think this is what's important here. All the prophets and all this, they were told of the coming Messiah. They never got to see it. Look at the faith of people. Think about Jericho. And I was going over this again this morning. Faith. God told them, march around this fortress. This is a fortress. Jericho. I want you to walk around this thing every day for 7 days. Now, I can tell you where my wavering would come in. I'd start to be walking going after about the third day. Huh. Now, I want you to walk around this fortress. Every day, once a day. On the seventh day, you're going to blow your trumpets and shout. Okay, really, Lord? That's what you want me to do? Well, there's been many times where God has told me to do things. And I've had to ask him, you know, I think I got a better plan. Okay, I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box, folks. I want you to understand. But on the seventh day, they blow the trumpet and shout, and the walls crash down. Faith. Okay, God, I'm wavering, but I can see it. Faith when he told so many, and I'll go in a little bit more with Gideon and Midianites. Here's this huge army. Huge. And Gideon's got 10,000. God says, that's too many. We got to whittle this down. Get down to 300. Now, Gideon's got to have a lot of faith here. And you're going to destroy all those, that huge army. Now, here again, I'd have been going, okay, God, this ain't working out. You know, I think I can come up with a plan here. That's how I'm not real sharp, I'll tell you. But faith of Gideon, those 300, they destroyed that large army. This is about faith. God may have told you something. You're going to do this. You're going to go here. You're going to be in this situation. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And so many times I wondered about Joseph and Mary, if their faith was wandering. Think about that 9-month period. What were they going through? What were the guys saying to Joseph? Did you find out who it was? You know, all the different garbage. What they had to go through. And they're standing on their faith. They're standing on their faith. Faith is a spiritual gift. If you lack faith, all you have to do is ask God, increase my faith. God is the one who gives us the faith. God is the one who gives us that faith. To do the things he carries us and he'll call us to do. To go, to be, whatever that case may be. So I got to thinking about this. So what is faith? Now people have patent answers. I will add that this is a greatness with God is faith. It really is greatness with faith. And that's why every one of us need to increase our faith. We need to ask God for more faith. And a person who truly believes God is great in the eyes of the Lord is the one with faith. Now, here's something you may not know. You could read through all the scriptures and we hear about faith. You're to have faith. You're to have faith. You're to believe. You're to have faith. You're to have faith. But throughout the scriptures, we read about faith and its importance. And the Bible tells us we must have faith. So we all got that in our mind. We got to have this faith. And those who have faith in God will see and do great things. But do you realize there's one spot, only one in the Bible where it tells you what faith is? Think about it. What faith is. There's only one place. Put it for me, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Look at all the Old Testament prophets, kings, warriors. They did not see the coming Messiah. God is going to do great things. It's faith. It's the assurance of things hoped for. The scriptures are full of people. It's encouraging. Who acted, upon their faith in God. And the scriptures are full of those who didn't believe God. Nowhere does the Bible define faith except this verse. So hopefully it's in your notes, on your bulletins. Later today, mark it. So you know, highlight it. You know what faith is because then you can always go back to it. Wait a minute, Lord, you told me this. Now, Matthew Henry, I have his whole series of books. Tremendous preacher from long ago. He says, faith and hope, and I wrote this so I get it perfect how he did it. He wrote, faith and hope go together, and the same things that are the object of our hope are the object of our faith. That's so true, Lord. So true. Now, faith, it says, is the assurance of things, what? Hope for. It's the assurance. So I thought, okay, scripture's telling us assurance. What's the actual meaning of the word assurance in the original Greek text? It means foundation. Guaranteed of things hoped for. Are you hoping for something? Yeah, Christ coming back. Eternal life. Whatever you're hoping for. You have the assurance. The guarantee. The foundation. Here in scripture. That's what it's saying. Mary and Joseph had faith in God throughout this journey through to get to Bethlehem. They had to. God had told them this is going to happen. But they're on this journey. It was rough. It was tough. It was... Now, it says here, the conviction of things not seen. Conviction, the actual word there, conviction is a perfect word, or evidence. Where's the evidence? This is going to happen. It's not seen. But God said it's going to happen, and it will happen. Faith is being described as an act. The act of the heart and the mind. I believe it. It's going to happen. God said it in His Word. It's going to happen. Period. Jesus said, I'm coming back to get my church. It's going to happen. How many Christians since the cross have said, oh, it's got to be happening? World War II is a prime example. The Jews were being persecuted. World War I. Christ has got to come back. And it's not going to get any worse than this. We know how bad it's gotten. I'm not saying He's not going to come back before I finish this message. We don't know when He's coming back. He said it's going to come back. So it will happen. We have to understand that the heart and mind believe something, and we have the assurance, the conviction that it's true. Lock in on that. It is true. We actually possess God's promises now. Scripture tells us, and I want us to understand that, we already possess eternal life right now for the believer. We have it. We have it. We already have it. Scripture tells us that. It's not that we're going to have eternal life. We already do. We have eternal life. We need to remind ourselves that. Because as a believer in Christ, we have this eternal life. We have that. And faith here is also possessing the substance of the promises of God. The evidence of things that haven't been seen yet. So when He has told you something, He has shared with you something, and you're going, I haven't seen it yet. God said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Think about this. We've not seen God. We've not seen Him. But He's real. And He exists. Faith is believing and trusting that God is and says. This is the Word of God. This is His Word. There's only one book like it. This book, the Bible. This is how we know God. The promises given in here, there's so many, there's over 5,000 promises given in Scriptures. All come true. Every single one of them come true. Biblical faith, though, is not. So I'm going to give you what it's not. Well, I think so. I hope so. You know, it could be so. Might be true. Might be true. That's not biblical faith. Stand on the Word of God. Stand on it. It's true. You can, it's there. I used to use the term, you can take it to the bank. It is true. So you have now an understanding of what faith is. What faith truly, truly is. And we look at that. So I was thinking about your faith, each one of us. There's a reward for it, folks. Because in chapter 11, verse 1, put up for me verse 2. For by it the people of old received their commendation. God is going to give them a commendation. When we believe God and His promises, God is pleased. Very pleased. They receive their commendation. they're with God. Do you, do I, do we believe God and his promises? I hope so. That's a vague answer, isn't it? Or do we say, yeah, you better believe it? Do you see how that can come in word? No, it's true. All the great people of faith, all the great in scriptures, that lived in the past who followed God and believed God received eternal life. They did. Look at, put up for me, John 3:15 and 16 for me. 3:15, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There it is. It's locked in. When you believe in Christ as your Savior, you possess eternal life. It's there. You got it. It's not, well, gosh, I hope I'm good enough. Gosh, I hope I didn't fail too much today. No, you have it. You have it. Now, homework assignment. I just gave you chapter 11, verse 1, verse 2. Now, I wasn't going to read the entire chapter of Hebrews 11 because it's
very long.
Very long. Not really, but it's, you're going to see the great men of faith. Truly, the great men of faith. It's what I'd call the Hall of Fame of faith, the rest of chapter 11. But I'm going to tell you this. When you read that, and you're going to see all these people listed down who believed. Boom, boom. Now, we know what faith is. We know we have it. So, I want to give you some inspiration. Because we looked at chapter 11. Now, put up chapter 12, verse 1 for me. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every heavy weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You just know what faith is. Now you saw the Hall of Fame of faith. You read that, and now here's your inspiration. Here's the inspiration to run that Christian race. To run it. We're going to run it with endurance. Does that mean it's an easy road? No. Does that mean it's going to be a piece of cake? No. Are we going to have trials and tribulation? Last week we went over it. Yes, Jesus said we would. Chapter 11 has a whole list of witnesses. There it's saying a cloud of witnesses. That's a lot of people. That never saw Christ come. But think about this. We're on the side of this side of the cross. The believers, all the way even up to us, we haven't seen Christ come yet. He's coming. I'm telling you. But what are we to do in running this race of endurance? It says we're to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to us. And run that race. We're not just going to sit around and say, hey, I'm saved. I asked Christ as my Savior. I'm good. I'm saved. I don't need to do anything. No. No. That is not true. We have been commissioned by God to share the gospel to the lost world. We're to share it. No matter how it happens, we're to share it. However, it says, and I like how it says, we're to lay aside every weight and sin. Why? Because that's going to slow you down. Every weight and every sin is going to slow you down. Picture runners. I'm not a runner physically. My son is. He does marathons and Ironman and all that kind of stuff. They're wearing pants that are loosely fitting, not much clothes. Okay, they're not carrying suitcases and luggage and heavy parkas and all that when they're doing this. No, you're not going to run that. You won't get to the end of the door. Well, I couldn't, I know, but maybe some of you can. They're not going to carry all that stuff as a runner. We're to run the race. We're to have endurance. So you think about it, we need to look at what sins are slowing us down. What weight is heavy on us that's slowing us down from running that race? I got to thinking about this and I was like, what are those that entrap us? Could it be pleasure? Could it be our tongues? What about pride? Possessions. Worldly people that we hang out with. Sports. TV. Are we watching too much sports? Are we watching too much TV? Are we doing all these things? There's a lost world out there, folks. We all need to give it some serious thought. What's slowing us down? What's hampering us? What's hanging on, clinging to us, that we can't get out there and share that gospel? Now, so we had chapter 11, verse 1. We did chapter 2, or verse 2. We went through the Hall of Fame. This is chapter 2 here. I'm glad you're... Chapter 12, verse 2. She put that up before I got to it. That's okay. Jesus is our example of how to run the race. Look what it says. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. That's why it's a spiritual gift. He is the founder. He is the perfecter of our faith. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is our example of how to run the Christian race. And you want more faith? Who gives it to you? The founder and the perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ. If you want more faith, ask him. As believers, we need to put our eyes on Jesus and focus our heart and mind upon him. He's the founder, he's the perfecter of it. We don't need to read books on all these different things. Right there it is. Right, go right to Jesus. Realize Jesus ran the race on earth. He did it. He ran the race. He showed us how to run the race in faith. You know, we read about all the things that he does, feeding the 5,000, doing the healings, all this stuff during the day, but if you look in Scripture, there's spots where it continues to say he spent the night in prayer. He was up early in prayer. What do you want me to do here, Father? What do you want me to do here? Jesus is the author and the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Let's go to him. Lock your heart and your mind and your eyes on Christ. He ran the race perfectly. He ran it sinlessly. And he ran it in perfect righteousness. He's our example. Are you going to fail? Yes. Are you going to stumble? Yes. It's okay. That's why Jesus came. Because we couldn't do it. But he showed us how to do it. We keep going back. Oh, Lord, you know, I got this thing over here that's really slowing me down. Can you help me with it? I want to share the gospel more. And I love this verse, and a lot of people don't see it, where it says the second sentence, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You're the joy. We're the joy. The joy is believers. Do you realize that? That Christ saw you? I'm going to the cross for them. I've told people before, and you may have heard this from anybody, if I was the only person living, he'd have still came and went to the cross. If you were the only person living, he'd have still came and went to the cross for you. The joy set before him was us. He loves us so much, he wants us to spend eternity with him. That's why he went to the cross. We couldn't make it on our own. Jesus Christ, God's Son, was born to go to that cross. That is why he came, to go to that cross. I just love it. Jesus was so filled with joy that believers would be united with him in eternity. That's what it's saying there. The joy that was set before him. Who is thrilled and happy to want to go to a cross? Christ, the only one. Joy. Joy. We're going to be looking at that next week. It was a glorious day. He would have all the glory and all the joy he died for, you and I, and all believers. A joy when a new heaven and earth come. There's a new heaven and earth coming. A joy for that. And a joy that he could recreate everything for the believers to worship and serve God for all eternity. That's the joy. What an awesome thing. And the joy of redemption. You know, when it says in Scripture that when a person turns to Christ, the angels are throwing a party. When you share God with somebody and you share, or somebody comes to know Christ, throw a party, have fun. That's another soul lost, saved. What a blessed time that is. This is the greatest joy. It is the joy of the Lord. Put it for me, John 15:11, please. These things, Jesus speaking, I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. See, his joy is love of believers, love of mankind. And what's it saying? That my joy will be in you. I want the joy of the Lord in me so that I love people more. I want his love in me overflowing so that I can love more people. Not just the good ones. See, you guys are easy to love. What about the ones that rip you off? What about the ones that break into your house? What about the ones that steal your car? Love them. Christ did. Christ did. You know, the 4 weeks of Advent are hope, faith, joy, and love. They all tie together Jesus Christ. They all. Today we've looked at faith. Faith of Mary, Joseph, and what true faith means. I truly hope God has increased your faith today by his word and by his spirit, that your faith has grown today. That you'll walk in faith. Walk in the love of God. God loved us so much, he sent his son to die for us. You know, the night before Jesus was going to go through the joy of the cross for you, he celebrated what would be instituted as the communion. We're going to celebrate that right now. So Larry, if you're coming up to help me, please. Turn around and hold that. Think about this. Jesus Christ is up. He's got his disciples, just like we're sitting right here. And he takes the bread and he said, this is my body given for you. Given for you. He didn't say broken, because his body wasn't broken. None of his bones were broken. Given. And I like the fact that this is the bread that would probably actually been used. We make it, try to make it right as would be made then. So, but anyway, the idea is not that the bread so much, but the idea that Jesus said, you're to partake in this communion in remembrance of me. This is not his body. This is not his blood that was shed, but to remember. So as Larry hands this out, think about God's love towards you. Truly, God's love towards you, that he would send his son, and his son was so thrilled to do it for you. Think about that, and then we'll partake together. Go ahead. Father, we want to praise you. We want to thank you so much. God, you showed the greatest love of all. You sent your Son for us to redeem us. Lord, thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord. Lord Jesus, you went to the cross and you see us as joy. Lord, let us be pleased to live our lives solely unto you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. After he'd handed out the bread, he took the cup and the wine. He said, "This is my blood given for you. Given for you." You know, and I think about that, he was whipped 39 times with a cat of nine tails. That's a leather with bone and metal in the glass. Whipped 39 times. He probably looked like hamburger. Nailed to a cross for you, for me. But he saw us as joy. He saw us as pure joy. We're going to be with him for eternity. You know what? Take the time to tell him thank you. Father God, we just praise you again and thank you again, Lord. You're worthy of our praise and our thanks every moment of our lives, Lord. We owe our lives to you and we thank you. Lord Jesus, your blood that was shed, it cleanses us from all our sins, all our transgressions, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy, your grace you've extended to us, Lord. Your ever-ending love, Lord. I just thank you. We thank you as a body. We praise you, we glorify you, we exalt you. Our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. Father, touch our hearts and our minds now. Lord, we want to worship you in song, one last song for this service, Lord, to praise you and to thank you, Lord. You are the only one, Jesus. We do this in your name. Amen. Worship team, come forward, please.
Thank you. Can you please stand and join us?